With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The guys on the big show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet.
Well, it's the big show.
It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Spring is around the corner and racing will be here before you know it. Go to greatlakesdragway.com to order your season passes, discounted tickets, or to inquire about a track rental.
Wendy's Big Show, 5 o'clock hour, Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane. Leroy Butler leaping out.
You know why?
Of the studios.
You know why? He was so embarrassed by our first topic of the day, he's leaving so he doesn't have to try and defend himself again.
Thanks, Leroy.
Yeah, it's just leaving.
I'll hold it for it.
You can't even.
Don't worry about it.
No, man, you can't
even
wait. You can't even wait till to do this. I'm going to take it 10 minutes.
No, that's all right.
See you lie again. Yeah, see you lie again.
Right lane.
Right through his teeth.
Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane. This is the one that Leroy wanted to run away from, Sparky.
Yeah.
We try to say, seven-game series, who would win, this Bucks team or the 2001 Eastern Conference Finals team? I side with Leroy Butler, but he just, you know, dipped out on me. I'm taking this team all day, every day, because this team has Giannis, and that one doesn't.
This is the thing. We got a ton of reaction on social media and a bunch of reaction on the phones as well when we did this topic earlier. And this all originated from a tweet that I saw last night tweeting out. And I immediately when I saw it, I was actually at, where was I? I don't remember where I was. Pick and Save maybe? I don't know where I was. And I saw it and I sent it to Baby Tausch. And Baby Tausch immediately said, oh, yeah, that's a topic. And this was Chittum Da Best tweets, this team is better than the 2001 team. He tweeted at the fan account talking about the Bucks. Bucks will win the East and we have an MVP. Okay, forget that whole part of it, which everybody probably agrees with. But let's talk about this deal here. For me, I'm still taking the 2001 team. And the setup is seven-game series, this year's rule package for the NBA, not the 2001 rules package.
No, and Tim Donaghy.
Right, and so... Ooh, forgot about that angle.
Yeah, right.
But this is the thing, though. If you match it up, Cassell and Bledsoe, I'm going to take Sam, more consistent basketball player. Probably a better overall point guard as far as leading the offense as well. Brogdon versus Ray Allen, no need to discuss. Glenn Robinson versus Chris Middleton. Everybody seemingly has agreed that Robinson over Middleton by a little bit, probably not by a ton. Some have said by more than a little. Then it's Giannis and Tim Thomas. Now, if we go based off just starting lineups, it wouldn't be. It would be Giannis and Mark Pope or whatever, and you would have Tim Thomas coming off the bench, and Thomas wouldn't be in that matchup until he came off the bench.
Yep.
But for this sake, we'll say he starts and plays against Giannis. So people are going to take Giannis. And what I said earlier got some people riled up. And I'm just being – you can be mad at me. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm just being honest. Tim Thomas – just God-given ability and talent, could do everything. Could shoot the mid-range jumper, could shoot the three, could get out and run in transition and throw down over the top of you, could take it to the rim, could take it to the rim and pass out. Everything. Long, right? Had the whole package. Now, as we all know, Tim Thomas didn't really care that much about basketball, obviously, and cared more about doing other stuff off the court than he did on the court. But you saw what Tim Thomas was able to do in his Bucks stint those last couple of years prior to getting that huge contract. And then that was the end of Tim Thomas. He checked out and the rest is history. But as far as talent goes, and we're talking about a seven-game series in Tim Thomas's prime at that point, I think it would have been a lot closer of a matchup than people maybe think. Giannis wins the matchup, but Tim Thomas can hold his own as far as—
He would get his. Tim Thomas would slow him more than a few times down the floor. Right.
This Bucks team would have defensive problems all over the place trying to figure out who they're going to guard. Like, how are you going to slow Ray? How is that going to work?
Who is going to defend Glenn Robinson? That was my biggest question.
Well, Middleton would try. I think Middleton would have some success because Robinson wasn't all that quick side to side.
But Middleton isn't either. Middleton's slower.
He's quicker than Glenn.
Quicker.
But he's slower foot. Right. And that's kind of half his problem in the NBA as to why he struggles as much as he struggles, because he's not the quickest cat out there either.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Right.
And then you look at benches, and then you look at coaches, Carl versus Budenholzer. For me, I still take the 2001 team with these rules. This really plays into, I think, their hands today's game is played. So I'll take Carl in the 2001 team.
You're saying six or seven games, though. It's going to be a slugfest. You're not saying 2001 team's blowing this team out of a series in five games or anything like that.
No. I think six or seven probably, yeah.
Gary?
That's probably good, right?
Yeah, what's up, dog?
2001 or now?
Give me
Milwaukee
one.
Bucks.
2001, because it ain't even close to me. You got one guy, Giannis, okay? That's what you got.
Yeah. Best player in the league.
Yeah. Let me think about that. Yeah, I think he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he ain't LeBron, though. He ain't Mike.
No.
And he ain't Kobe.
Sure.
Okay? But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Best player in the league. Today.
Today. Yep. Today.
Now, if LeBron mess around and turn it on in the playoffs, that's a whole different beast. But right now, today, I'm using that Leroy thing. Today, right now, yes, he is.
And today, right now, I think in the Ray Allen conversation is also different, because Ray Allen in this Bucks team was a different Ray Allen than you saw in those Boston teams and in the Supersonics teams. Right. Guy lived above the rim, and what did he score, like 47 in one game in that playoffs run that they had? I think it was in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, all those guys had just big games at some point.
Big night. That was big a great nights. Team to watch. Also talked to Steve Novak. Steve Novak agreed with myself and Leroy Butler.
That's
said
cool.
That it would be totally this team. Drew Brees. And Aaron Rodgers both sit right on the pantheon of great NFL quarterbacks, top quarterbacks in pro football history, both first ballot Hall of Famers. Pull up the number, Drew Brees, with obviously multiple more years starting at quarterback, multiple teams than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is starting his 11th year as a quarterback. 9-7 is Rodgers in the playoffs. 8-6 is Drew Brees in the playoffs. A question came, Gary, from Colin Cowherd talking about Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, and Cowherd believing that Drew Brees, if the New Orleans Saints are able to get it done, going to jump right over the top of Aaron Rodgers.
Does impact to a franchise matter? Does leadership matter? Does Super Bowl titles matter? Do regular season records matter? One guy was given the laughing stock of the league that had one playoff win in the history of the franchise. The other player was given, arguably, the most iconic franchise in the NFL. So that's not close. If Drew Brees wins the Super Bowl titles against Aaron, check Brees. NFL records, not close, check Brees. Impact on a franchise, Drew Brees, folks, is the Saints. Okay, Aaron Rodgers is arguably not the Packers' best quarterback ever. Gang, it ain't close. It is a hot take to say the opposite of Drew Brees will elevate above Aaron Rodgers.
So Colin Cowherd saying that Drew Brees with a Super Bowl victory will just jump right on over the top of Aaron Rodgers in the greatest of all time debate. Gary Ellerson, what say you?
Steve is right. Our social media has been just out crazy today. We've got a lot of stuff on this as well.
Yep.
Just straight.
But a lot of people want to talk to us. That's
understandable. But I think, Steve, maybe, and I don't know. Here it again. Here it is again. Right now, today. Let me have Drew Brees. Right? Because here's the thing. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is going through he's got to flip it. Drew Brees went through the flip it. Actually, he's done it a couple times. The shoulder, I think they had 379s, and then there's a new team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got himself back into the NFC Championship game,
yep.
Flipping the script. Well, that's where Rodgers will be next year, flipping the script. He's got five, like Drew Brees, think about this now, like Drew Brees, he's got really 5 years. Drew Brees is now 41 and back in the NFC Championship game. Like Drew Brees, he's got 5 years Most folks think it's 2020. He's got 5 years to redo it again. But right now today, let me have Drew Brees. And I'm like Colin Cowherd. Right now today, it ain't even close.
It's close for
Where's
you?
Where's Leroy Butler at?
Sparky?
Where's Lee? Where's Lee at? Lee?
Drew Brees versus Aaron Rodgers? I think it's really close. I mean, I disagree with Gary on that. But if Drew Brees wins another Super Bowl, then it's over. Then it's done until Rodgers can get another one himself, because that's what it's going to come down to. He's measuring championships. Drew Brees has done an awful lot for an awful long time, and for the most part has been relatively healthy along the way. Once you got past the beginning of his career, once he got to New Orleans, he's been relatively healthy and has been on the field game in and game out for the most part, and has had a lot of success with Sean Payton. And he's getting knocked on social media, Gary, because he plays in a dome. So,
yeah,
so don't want to hear about it. He plays in a dome. He doesn't play in the elements like Aaron Rodgers, so you have to deduct something from Drew Brees for that. I don't know if that's a fair point or not, but that's what I've been seeing.
Understandably so. I will agree with Cowherd in the one sense where he talks about Drew Brees is the New Orleans Saints, and Aaron Rodgers might not even be the best quarterback in the franchise's history. Understandably so. That is the center lane, Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. Left lane, James Harden has just been absolutely balling. If you watch what he's done since Christmas, it's been outstanding. He's only had three games where he hasn't scored 40 or more. 115 points across the last two games. So, as we've been doing pretty much all day, barbershop conversations, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, James Harden. In the same class as a LeBron James, Kobe Bryant. I put Steph Curry in that conversation. A lot of people don't either, though, in that class.
Well, I think regular season Harden, sure. When we talk about postseason Harden, no. Just disappeared too much. You can't have them there. And just like quarterbacks, you judge them on rings, it gets no different in the NBA when you start judging great players. LeBron James has a bunch of rings. Kobe Bryant has a bunch of rings. Michael Jordan has a bunch of rings. James Harden done. Now, to get into that conversation, he's got to beat Golden State this year in the playoffs and win the final and win the NBA championship. Next year, when LeBron gets his other superstar with him or other two superstars with him, however the offseason plays out, he's got to beat them in the playoffs and win another ring. If he does that, then we can start talking about him being in that conversation. But until he starts really showing up in big games in the playoffs, can't be there.
Gary, where's James Harden rank? Is he in that conversation with Kobe and LeBron?
Well, you see, and so we talked about this earlier, and I get it, right? Postseason, not been there. But I think folks take for granted that Joker got a special talent that Kobe don't have, that MJ don't have, that LeBron don't have. He can straight out shoot it.
From anywhere. Pull up from anywhere.
Yep. He takes you down, pull it back out. Nobody's doing it like him. I haven't seen anybody do it like that. Ray Allen can shoot, but Ray Allen to me was more of a catch and pass and shoot. Now, he can come off the dribble too, but he was more of a catch and pass shoot kind of guy, where this guy here can do it all.
Let's get one quick call break. It's Milltown on the north side. Milltown, what's going on, man?
What's going on, fellas? Haven't talked to you in 2019. Congratulations, baby Tosh, on taking the spot that's well-deserved.
Appreciate it, man.
And I didn't hear the first other two lanes. I only caught a brief part of it, and I was just going to speak on the right lane the first, but I want to just hit and say Gary is right, Drew Brees is better, and Gary's also right, again, two in a row, Gary, that Harden does not just shoot. He can score. He can get to the line. He can go to the cup. He can take the contact. Harden can score. So he's an unbelievable talent, and I don't like him. I wish he would shave the beard off. Okay. And beginning lane, the Bucks team now against the Bucks team 2001. Y'all keep saying something is wrong. Tim Thomas didn't start.
Right, so, I said that earlier. I said he came off the bench. But yeah, in this situation here, we're going to have him start because George Karl knows Mark Pope ain't going to guard Giannis.
No, Darvin Ham.
I think if you go back and look, you'll see Pope was starting in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Maybe in the finals, but most of the season, Darvin Ham started.
And he's not going to defend Giannis either.
No, nobody's going to defend Giannis, but they're going to pack the lane. And if we can't hit jump shots, what's making Giannis so much successful this year is we hitting them jump shots to open up the lane.
Correct.
Yep.
Yep, and without doing that, because one man can't beat a team.
Sure.
And the Bucks have three tremendous talents in 2001. Sam Cassell is very underrated, and he's a champion. Ray was unbelievable offensive talent, and Glenn, big dog, could score straight up, because that's going to wear Middleton down trying to defend him. And
Brogdon has no prayer against Ray.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I don't think it would be seven games. I'd say six, maybe five.
Whoa.
All right, Middletown. Appreciate you, man.
My man.
See, now we got Toma Nation tweeting at the fan. Guys, this team would destroy the 2001 team in four or five games. It wouldn't be close. Good grief, fellas. There is no way that team with George Karl and those guys lose, get swept by this team.
There's no way George Karl is letting his team get swept.
There is no chance this team is sweeping that team. Y'all can forget that. I mean, you could say we're crazy, but that is nuts.
But they might be able to get a ring, though.
Friends over at Jewelry City, located on 76 and Layton Plaza, new location. Well, it's not new anymore, but a location in Brookfield, off Blue Mile Road, and Tri-City National Bank Building, in right there on the second floor. But the new location is
that
in Burlington. Wisconsin. ShopTJC.com. ShopTJC.com. Live chat, wrap your fingers. You okay? Right at your finger. That was like I was going to cough, but didn't cough. Right at your fingertips. Shop TJC. Order anything you want from all three stores, baby Tosh.
That's all you need.
All three stores. You ain't got to get out your car.
Nope.
You can leave your office seat right at your finger.
But I do like going in there.
If
I like
you
the
do
want
to go in, that storefront property means that you get out your car and walk right in the door. Now, don't be alarmed, folks, when you walk in the building. There's people there. Always going to be people there because people know where to get the greatest deal. That's my good friend Dean Murray. He's the owner. Ask for him when you go in. Tell him the boys from the Big Show sent you.
Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane, rolls on. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Wendy's Big Show, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to my left. Gary Ellerson, he played for your Badgers and Packers right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, former general manager of the Washington Redskins, Houston Texans, three-time Super Bowl champion. In the front office is Charlie Casserly, now a member of the NFL Network. Charlie, appreciate you carving out a few minutes for us on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Charlie's also a part of the NFL advisory board, too, and was a part of the process for the Green Bay Packers, as Mark Murphy pointed out, as far as helping Mark pick a head coach. How involved were you in this? Were you talking to Mark as the interview process was going on with different guys? Was he using you as a sounding board after these interviews?
Yeah, we had a couple of conversations during the process, one at the beginning and then others throughout the process. But basically, he asked me my opinion on different coaches. I gave him my opinion, and obviously, we can't share any of that on the air. But I wasn't there for any interviews. This is phone conversations.
So the Matt LaFleur interview happens, and as Mark puts it, pretty much knocked his socks off and everybody else that was in that room. I would assume that he then had a conversation with you about it. And did he tell you then what Matt LaFleur's plan was for Aaron Rodgers to get your take on whether or not it would work?
No. In other words, we had conversations at the beginning. We'll say maybe about 75% through. And then we had a conversation when it was all over and we kind of reviewed the candidates.
You know, they went through, Charlie, about 10 candidates and he was the last one. How exhausting of a search were that? Because you go through 10, but then they were able to be the first team to actually hire a coach to be in on all that.
Well, it's exhausting to do it.
Okay? Right.
It's exhausting for these coaches to go through and it's exhausting to do it. But, it was split up a little bit. It gives you a good perspective on a number of candidates, which is good. I think they went in with an open mind. And I think that's important to keep the open mind all the way through it. So I think I told somebody, I said, there's going to be eight new coaches, eight teams are going to get their first choice. That's the difference of opinion of teams had on coaches.
You look at this Green Bay Packer team right now, and of course the structure is a little bit different. You've got Russ Ball, you've got Mark Murphy, you've got Brian Gutekunst. Outside looking in, how do you think those guys work together?
Oh, I think they work together very well. But again, we'll have to see how the three of them work together as they go forward. I know Mark for forever, and I like Mark. He's an easy guy, I think, to work with. very smart, can get to the point quickly. I don't know Brian, but everything I've ever heard about him is good.
Talking with Charlie Casserly on the Wendy's Big Show, NFL Network analyst, as well as a member of the NFL Advisory Committee and NFL Network analyst and three-time Super Bowl champion, a member of the front office. Charlie, when you look at the way that coaching hires are going in the NFL right now this year, there didn't seem to necessarily be that one hot name that everybody wanted. Is this one of the times when a front office can sit back and really be deliberate in these interviews?
I think you could this year because, again, I think eight teams got their first choice. But normally you can't. Normally you sometimes have got to move fast on these things. This year, you didn't seem to have to move fast.
Have teams come after you at all about trying to get back in and being a general manager with NFL teams?
No, it's been a while. And I decided quite a while ago that we had a wonderful career as far as being fortunate to be with the number of years we were. We won championships in Washington, got to start a team in Houston. So I'm excited about the things I'm doing in my life right now.
When you put together a coaching staff like Matt LaFleur is doing in Green Bay, and it seemingly is a bunch of guys in their 30s on the offensive side of the football, do you get worried about how that works with a veteran NFL team?
Well, I think you like to have a mix in your staff between, you know, older guys and younger guys. I don't think you have to have that, but I like to see that. That doesn't mean it has to be that way, but I like to see that mix.
You know, the relationship with Matt LaFleur, let's just face it, has got to be with Aaron Rodgers to try to get him back on track. Was that discussed at all with LaFleur talking to Rodgers and making sure that relationship was good or that Rodgers was on board with it?
I don't know if Rodgers had any conversations with LaFleur before he took the job. I'm sure they've talked since then. I never asked Mark that question. My impression was that Rodgers was not going to be directly involved in the interview process. So I'd be surprised if he was, but I think each coach had to come in with a plan, which is logical. What's your plan for Aaron Rodgers? If you're going into Cleveland, what's your plan for Baker Mayfield? If you're going into the Jets, what's your plan for Sam Darnold? Rodgers is unique because he's a veteran. He's won championships. He's going to have some strong feelings on what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do. So, you know, how do you communicate what you want to do to him, and how is your plan to talk to an Aaron Rodgers? So every coach probably went in and studied Aaron Rodgers, not only on tape, but the personality, what things he likes, what things he doesn't like, what's the best way to communicate with him. And I think that was a must for the coaches preparing for these interviews.
It just felt a little different this year, Charlie, with all the new hires. It just felt like the turnover of coaches are much younger than they've ever been. Is that the new way now in the NFL? You got a lot of these guys that are about 39 years old, and they feel like they all come from Shanahan and the McVay tree. That's where everybody's going for. And there's outside of Fangio, that most of these guys are very young.
That's this year. We'll see what the trend is in 2 years. Okay. The trend that's disturbing is there's too many openings.
Correct.
You can't have 7 and 8 openings every
year.
You're turning over the league. You're not giving coaches a fair chance. So, therefore, you're getting a year like this where you're getting a lot of more unknowns than normal. And guys with not a lot of experience. Now, hey, Matt Nagy, half a year playing, calling plays, did a brilliant job in Chicago. Didn't surprise me knowing Matt. But then other coaches come in, and maybe they're not ready for it. So too many openings too fast is the problem we have.
Well, let me ask you this, because you've been around for a long time. Your head coach and a general manager, should they be tied together as far as what players that they want for their offense and for their defense when you're drafting? And, you know, Parcells made that comment a long time ago, something about it, you know, if they want me to be the cook, I should be the chef and all that kind of stuff. Do you believe in that process?
Well, I love Bill, and I have great admiration for him, but he won his Super Bowls when he wasn't the chef, see, okay, with the New York Giants, okay, so we have to remember that. Though Bill did do a great job everywhere he was, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. What you have to do as a general manager is get on the same page as the coach, know exactly what he wants, and get players that fit his system, okay? That's your job. Everything should be pointed to making that head coach successful. Now, some coaches are better at adapting players to a system than others. Some coaches are better at being more clear in what they want and being more realistic in what they want. That's the difference. But I always felt we sat down with the coaching staffs we had, give us the blueprint of what you need, and then we're going to go get those players. That's our job.
And from that standpoint, do you get down with the power structure in Green Bay with Mark Murphy kind of being the final guy, Russ Ball reporting to him, the guy that does the contracts? Then you have Matt LaFleur that also reports to Murphy, not to the general manager. And then obviously Brian Gutekunst also reports to him. And then I guess last year they were having weekly meetings with Mike McCarthy, all four of them between games.
Well, I worked in two organizations. Worked with the Washington Redskins. I worked with the Houston Texans. Washington Redskins won a lot of championships. Head coach reported to the owner, and the general manager reported to the owner. Now, I'm not sure that's the way it was written down, but that's the way it was, okay? And the same thing in Houston. Green Bay is unique because Mark's the owner. Owner represents the owners, okay? I can't imagine a situation where the head coach does not report to the owner, or that the general manager can fire the head coach without the owner's approval. Okay, maybe that's the way to put it. You can't fire the head coach without the owner's approval.
Charlie Casserly, formerly of the Washington Redskins and the Houston Texans, three-time Super Bowl champion, as a member of the front office and now an analyst on NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Charlie Casserly and find Charlie on NFL Network's Up to the Minute Friday at 3 p.m. Central. Charlie, really, really appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right, great to be with you now.
There's Charlie Casserly joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start a renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans, those right here in our communities, since 1935. And that was very, very pointed. He knew exactly what he was saying, and he did have some very, very good conversations with Mark Murphy, it sounds like.
On Chuck and Winkler, that man said he knew what the plan was for LaFleur to get to Rodgers. What he said, and go back and listen to the best of on the podcast. So now when we asked him about this whole thing, it doesn't sound, I don't understand how he could possibly know if Murphy didn't talk to him at some point about what LaFleur said his plan was to get to Aaron Rodgers. So I'm a little bit confused on how this conversation occurred, unless he talked to Matt LaFleur personally. Now, maybe that occurred. Maybe Charlie Casserly talked to Matt LaFleur after Mark Murphy hired him or at some point, and that's how he knows? Because how else would he know what the plan was to get to Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, that would be the only way.
Yes, so when I asked the question, he said no.
Right.
I was like, okay, well, I don't really understand how you would know that.
Yeah. Well, maybe he was. Okay. Maybe he misspoke on the Chuck and Winkler show.
Could be. People misspeak all the time, Gary, but they never misspeak about West Dallas Honda.
No, my good friends over at West Dallas, Dan Richards, Steve, you know him.
Disney guy.
Just a great guy.
Disney guy, too?
Oh, yeah.
Huge Disney guy.
Wow, I didn't know.
World according to Sparky. Listens to it all the time. The podcast at 105.7fmthefan.com.
Also a veteran.
Yeah, we all are Disney guys. I think I was the first Disney guy here on the radio station. Been going since 1959. But neither here or there. Let's talk about my good friends over at Hyundai West Dallas.
Let's do that.
Dan Richards. General sales manager.
Over there, too.
Sith Lord. Ready to make a deal right now on any new or used car they have on their lot right now. My good friend Dan Richards is going to give you the best possible deal ever on a new or used vehicle. But here's what you got to do, guys. You got to get over and see them. Located on Highway 100 and Arthur Avenue. Matter of fact, they're part of the International's Auto Group, which owns half of Arthur Avenue. When you walk down, it's just all International Autos. But make sure you go to the Hyundai dealership right there. That's West Ellis. In West Dallas, Hyundai.
That's Gary Ellerson. Steve Sparky Fivers here as well. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. And we're going to get back to Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane, wrap this thing up with some of your phone calls next here on The Fan.
Show.
Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, Throwback Thursday. Billy Joel, your artist today. Gary Ellerson, the nominator. He then nominated the Gap Band to try to repeat today. Phil Collins and Genesis. Leroy Butler's nomination. Christina Aguilera. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's backing. Myself went with Gladys Knight and the Pips. I also want the Pips in there as well. Gladys Knight going to sing the national anthem at this year's Super Bowl. Anthony Mandela, the winner. Today's Throwback Thursday brought to you by Master Z's.
Well, on a side note, usually most of us don't get a vote. Every single person today got a vote except for Gladys Knight and or the Pips.
You're all horrible people.
Yeah, but your winner is Genesis and Phil Collins.
There we go, Phil Collins. I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Going to be one
we'll be
heck of a good one. That
break,
is my favorite
probably.
One. That's my favorite song. One quick one here before we get out of here. D in Colorado weighing in on the Eastern Conference final team in 2001 against this Bucks team. D, what's going on, man?
Man, dog, as much as I love Giannis, how y'all doing? It ain't even close. I think it'd be five games with the 2001 team. And I'm going to keep it brief. As much as Sparky hated Walter Ray Allen, dude, y'all, nobody on his team could have held, dude. And I know everybody thinking about him being old because he played so long. When dude came into the league, he was in dunk contest. He had that little floater jumper he did off the dribble. And the Bucks had made Norman Powell a legend in the playoffs. So what they going to do with Walter? And I think people underestimate Big Dog, too. I think this conversation should be had if you're old enough to remember the billboards and them shoes that he had on Dorf Street from Oakland Gyros back in the day. Because I think a lot of people is prisoners of the moment, and they're not really thinking of this team. And one last thing about Tim Thomas, that man went viral before the internet. Like, people knew about him in high school. They was comparing him to KG. It was so many stories about dude in newspapers and magazines. Do you know how hard that was to do back then?
Yeah.
Nobody talking about high school basketball players. There's only a handful of players you heard about. You had Busy in Chicago, who ended up getting killed. And you had Sam Lloyd, or whatever his name, to play with the Spurs, who got caught in a crack house. But it was so hard to go viral. So I think, man, yeah, I give him five games, cuz.
I appreciate you, D.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, with all this crap going on social media, I wish we could simulate that somehow and see what actually would happen in seven games. Boy, do I wish we could see it.
Because
the people are so passionate on both sides of this. Yeah.
I just think that 2001 team, they have enough bodies to run at Giannis. But he will be the best player on the floor, no doubt about
it. Right, sure. And in the Eastern Conference Finals this year, the Bucks make it there. He's the best player in the East, right, by far?
Right.
Nobody's going to be able to match up with him, best player in a
seven-game
series.
Kawhi's pretty good.
Decent.
The key will be how will he perform in those big games in a seven-game series. Will he make his free throws at the end of a game when they need him? And there's a lot that goes with this. He's never been a part of a team that's won a series in the playoffs.
Great
so
point.
So let's see what happens.
And what D just said, too, about the guys that never made it, the guys that went viral, still just blows my mind, makes it just so much more incredible what LeBron James has done.
Right.
Dude was a legend when he was 15 years old and lived up to every single thing of it, on the floor and off the floor. Thanks to Steve Novak, former Marquette Golden Eagle, Bucks player, and Fox Sports Wisconsin analyst. G joined us today, as well as Gary Wolfel and Charlie Casserly of the NFL Network, formerly of the Washington Redskins and Houston Texans, joined us as well. On today's show tomorrow, leading off the program, Orlando Magic General Manager John Hammond, also our old friend Josh Vernier, 610 Sports will join us. Guys, Gary, Sparky, appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.